G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you have your Bible, you can turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, give me an oi when you're there. Hallelujah. Anyone there yet? All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through to 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I'm going to share some things. I've got really stirred my heart up during the week to talk a little bit about our identity. Your identity is who you are. And I want to talk a little bit about the impact of knowing who you are, what sort of impact that can be. And I guess for a part of it, I want us to reflect a little bit on, well, what does the Bible say who we are? So I'm assuming that you're born again. I'm assuming that you're a child of God. And so if you are born again, well, who are you? And how can that impact your life? You know, your identity makes all the difference. Actually, it's not just your identity, it's knowing your identity. It's not who you are that makes the difference, it's knowing who you are that makes the difference. Remember, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's not the truth that sets you free, it's knowing the truth. There's a lot of people that are unaware of the truth, and so it doesn't help them at all. And so it's knowing who you are. And so I want to reflect a little bit about, well, who are you? Who does the Word of God say you are? And what sort of impact can that have on your life? Because your identity will impact your life if you start to think about who you are. And the first one here in 1 John chapter 3 is, you're a child of God. Who are you? You're a child of God. The scripture says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. You're not just a servant. You're not just on God's side. You're a child of God. I don't know if you've thought about the implications of that. What a beautiful description of who we are. God could have easily said, yeah, you're on my side now. Or, yeah, I'll help you out. Or, yeah, you can serve me. You can do things for me and I'll be there for you. And they're all great, great things. But this scripture says, behold, what manner of love. The Father, even the word Father, is not just God. If you meditated on that, and I know because I did for months, that revelation, he is my Father. I meditated on that for months and it revolutionized my life. It changed my life to such an extent that there was a fellow colleague, this is years ago, I meditated on that. I didn't tell anybody what I'd been meditating on, but I did that for months and months. And this mate of mine, when I was driving buses for the Brisbane City Council, looked at me one day and he'd seen my life transform. He didn't know what I'd been doing, but he thought I was an angel. And he wouldn't talk to me. He'd just look at me from a distance. Because he thought, you know, and he thought like I was an angel secretly disguised as a bus driver. And I was mixing with the humans. That's what he honestly thought. And look, the point, and I don't want to go into the conversation that I had with him, but if you meditate on who are you? This one truth, behold what manner of love the Father, that word Father, I meditated on that. You are my Father. He's not just your God. He's not just creator. I mean, that would be awesome if you do, but the word Father reveals a sense of closeness and intimacy, of belonging. You know, if you've got an appointment to see your boss and you're not sure what it is, you can be a little bit nervous, like, what's going to happen? But if you've got an appointment with the creator of the universe, he's your Father. That signifies straight away there's a relationship there, that God's desire is for you to have a relationship with him and him to enjoy that with you. We are children of God. I wonder what sort of difference that would make in your life if you knew that. What if that truth just burst from your heart into your mind, into the way you thought? I wonder, how would you feel? I wonder, what would your thoughts be? I want to lead us a little bit in thinking about some of these things and the impact your identity can have. Is a son different to a servant? Is it? Yeah. Some of you are not sure. There is a difference between a son and a son. We are sons of God. That is a gender-neutral term. It has nothing to do with whether you're male or female. In fact, the scripture says there is no difference in God, male or female, Jew or Gentile. There's no difference. We are sons of God. Is there a difference between being a son of God and a servant of God? There's a huge difference. Some of you know that I do some part-time work with a bus company, and I'm so blessed with that, and I so enjoy it. I have some tremendous opportunities to talk with some of the other blokes on there, and I may share some of that as we go on. But this company is owned by a father-son. And then there are also a couple of other staff members that have been there for a long, long time, been with them. And, you know, like the staff just, they love this father-son team. Well, they really like them. They think very favorably towards them because they're looked after. This father-son team, the dad is a retired dentist. And I found out the story of how they started. He was on the board of directors of a private school. And they were having trouble. They were just getting going, and they were having trouble because there was a number of people that wanted to enroll their child, but there was no way they could get their child to school. And so the board of directors were talking about we need to get a bus and start some bus runs, you know, so we can pick up the students and stuff. But the school determined that no, we don't really have the budget for that. And so this man, being on the board of directors, thought, well, I'll buy a bus. I'll run a bus company. How hard can that be? And like, here he is, you know, like, I don't know, it's 20 years later and they've got a massive fleet. These are beautiful. They're not buses. They're coaches. They're luxury coaches. And I think each one's worth like $500,000. And he's got like a fleet of about 20 of them, 17 to 20 of them. And anyway, this father-son team, they run the business. And there's several others who have been there for a long time. There's a difference. I watch the son operate and I watch the employee or the servants operate. There's a difference between a son and a servant. You're a son of God. There's a difference. You know, servants are assigned tasks, so are sons. God can give you an assignment. He can give you a task. Servants are trained to carry out their responsibilities. Sons are trained to see the big picture. The servant doesn't care. This is my job. My job is to clean the buses. My job is to fix the buses. My job is to drive the buses. My job is to help with the admin. They're the servants. But what I notice, the son, he's trained to see the big picture. He's constantly looking at all the things that need to be done, what needs to be tended to. Servants are hired to meet a specific need. They needed more bus drivers. They advertised. I was one of those that responded to that. sons fill in wherever they're needed. How many people look at their role in the kingdom of God as if they were a servant? God, what do I have to do this for? See, a son will never ask that. A son is willing to do. I notice this guy, the son. I notice him. He owns the business with his dad. He's in his early 30s. But he doesn't care what it is. There's days where he gets behind the wheel and he'll drive the bus all day. And then I've seen this with my own eyes. He'll come home, he'll get changed into some work wear, and he'll get under one of the buses because it needs to be ready and fixed and operable by the next day. See, a servant says, well, this is my job, that's all I'm doing. But a son says, where do you need me, Father? So many believers complain constantly to God, like, God, what do I have to do this for? Why am I doing this? How long before I... Why don't you start looking at the bigger picture? You're a son. And just saying, well, God, if this is where you need me, this is where I'm happy to do it. This is where I'm happy to help. Servants are remunerated based on their performance. Sons will inherit the family business. Servants come and go as the need arises. Sons always remain an heir. Servants are paid accordingly. Sons are loved unconditionally. I wonder what sort of impact that can have on your life if you started seeing yourself as who you really are, a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Let me read it to you from the Message translation. Message always has a unique way of putting it. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, we'll become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. How good is that, eh? You're a child of God. We need to be meditating on these truths and allowing them to grow in our life, where it just influences not just the way we think, but the way we speak and the way we act. That we're not just acting because that's what you're meant to do, but you're acting because it's coming from the heart. It's just like you know this deep down. I am a son of God. And if this is where God wants me, I'm an heir to all of this. And I'm going to do my part in the family business. I want you to look there at, what verse is it? Verse 1 still. It says, behold, what manner of the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The Message translation says, this is why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. Do you realize when you prayed to receive Christ, a profound change occurred in your life? The scripture says you were dead, but now you're alive. You were once darkness, but now you are light. You don't just have light, you are light. That's not just what I'm telling you. That's not my idea. That's what the scripture says. It says that in Ephesians. You were once darkness, but now you are light. That's who you are. I wonder what sort of difference that would make if that was a reality in your life. I'm constantly, when I sign in, when I go and do this this work at the buses, I'm constantly looking at these blokes that are working there thinking, you guys have no idea. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I'm praying, God, give me the right words at the right time. Give me the right words at the right time. But see, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. That's what the New King James says. The world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, says the message, because it has no idea who he is. A profound change has taken place in your life, and to most of your unchurched friends, they would look at you and think nothing has happened. But something has happened. If you were to die right now and you have professed a faith in Christ, you would go to heaven and you would be so, so glad that you are. Hallelujah. But the unsaved are not going to understand this. The unsaved, your unsaved friends, particularly the more you start walking with Christ, the more your life is going to start to transform. What's happened on the inside will begin to show itself on the outside. And soon people will notice there's a difference. And not everybody's going to be happy about it. What's wrong with you? You used to party with me all the time. Now you don't come out. You're just like a wet blanket. No, it's just all of a sudden what you used to enjoy is no longer tasteful to you anymore. Are you going to apologize for that? I'll show you. I haven't changed. Really? You've forgotten who you are. You have changed. A profound change has taken place in your life. And now you are light. And you bring light to every situation. The problem is that so many believers, they hide their lamp under a basket. Hope no one notices. What'll happen if they do? They might not like me. I might need therapy. Have a look at first, you're still at 1 John chapter 3. Look at the next chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, everyone say, as he is, so are we in this world. Say, so are we in this world. Say it again. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Why do I get people to do these sort of things? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I want this, I don't want this just to be some flitting thought that just goes past you and you miss the gravity of what the Holy Spirit wants you to grab a hold of. As he is, everyone say, as he is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? Is he victorious? Well, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. Is he peaceful? So are we in this world. Is he confident? So are we in this world. Sometimes you could be given a new task at work and you're thinking, man, can I do this? No. Instead of asking yourself that question, you should be saying, is he confident? Because as he is, so am I in this world. He's confident. He's peaceful. So am I. I can do this. Is he holy? Yeah, Arnie thinks so. Anybody else? So are we in this world. Is he righteous? So are we in this world. Is he sinless? Pete nodded his head. Anybody else think so? Is he sinless? So are we in this world. Now, I know for some people, when you say something like that, they'll go, well, hang on, you have no idea. You have no idea the sort of life that I live, and I'm not proud of it. I wish I could be different, but I'm just, no, see, you're calling God a liar. Does the scripture say in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world? Does it? Is he sinless? So are we in this world. But here, this is where people run into problems, because they'll say, yeah, but look at my actions. But it's not saying depending on whether you're good or not. It doesn't say, as he is, so are we in this world, if you do everything that he tells you to do and you're not a naughty boy or girl. It just says, as he is, so are we in this world. If you focus more on who you are instead of what you do, you'll find what you do will come into line with who you are. So many people are trying to do the right thing in order to be holy, trying to do what's right in order to be righteous, instead of just realizing, I am righteous, I am holy, because as he is, so am I in this world. And when you allow that truth to become the dominant factor in your life, you'll know that truth and the truth will set you free. And all of a sudden, the sin that once used to so easily entangle you and trip you up is now no longer an issue, because in God's eyes, it's not an issue either. Is he undefeated? So are we in this world. Is he healthy? So are we in this world. Oh, but Pastor Les, you don't understand. My leg, it hurts. Is he healthy? So are we in this world. Yeah, but my leg hurts. Is he healthy? So are we in this world. You're asking the wrong question. I don't ask my body how it feels. I'm giving you a key to breaking through into all the things that you believe in and that God has promised for you. I don't ask my body how it feels. I don't ask my bank account how much is in there. I'm asking the Word of God. God, what do you say about my body? And he says, as he is, so are you. And so then I'll ask myself, is he healthy? Yes, he is. So am I in this world. Is he rich? So are we in this world. Oh, no, you don't understand. I've got more bills than I've got income. Is he rich? So are we. Stop looking at the wrong place. Stop looking at what your bank account says. Stop looking at what your body is saying. Your body will come into line and your bank account will come into line. Things will change for you. If you just allow who you are to shine out. I'm talking about who are you. And we looked at how you're a child of God, but here we're looking at who you are, that as he is, so are you in this world. That's who you are. Is he successful?
Yes.
So are we in this world. So it's not a matter of, man, I hope I achieve this goal. No. If God's put that on your heart and he's said to you, go for it, you are successful because he is successful. Is he unafraid? Is he? Is he unafraid? Yeah? So Pete says so? I said, is he unafraid? Hey, listen, I want you to respond. I don't want you to slide into the lazy mode where you sit there and just say, yeah, just talk to me and get it over with. No, right? I want you to respond. I want this to go more than just your head. I want it to get into your heart where it starts stirring something, because there is deep in every one of us, if you're born again, there's that light that's turned on and is a holy dissatisfaction for things you see in your life that are not the will of God. And if you don't start yielding to that, if you're just sitting there and going through the motions in church, singing a few songs and listen to some guy at the front spit half the time and get out something. If that's all you get, you've missed it. Let it stir you. There's something inside of you saying, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I'm trying to remind you who you are, because who you are determines what you do. When you start to see who you really are, it automatically affects the way you talk, the way you think, the way you act. It just comes natural. That's one of the things I loved about Joy. She just knew who she was. And it just impacted her. And it just outflowed in the way she did things. I'll never forget one time, Micah had come to church. This was a church that we were helping. We were associate pastors in. And Micah was probably about 17 or 18 at that stage. And he wore this Batman T-shirt. And he had a jacket on over it, but the jacket wasn't zipped up, so you could see the Batman insignia and stuff. And so, anyway, this lady saw, there was a pre-service prayer meeting and people were praying and Micah was part of that. And this lady, who was a regular at the church, went up to Micah and started telling him off for wearing that T-shirt. And Micah was thinking, what? You know, and she's saying, how dare you wear that? That's just so, you're so inconsiderate. You're so insensitive. And Micah's confused. I didn't know what was going on, what was happening there, because this was just during the prayer meeting. Joy was in the prayer meeting and she looked over and she didn't know, from where she was, she didn't know what was happening. But she knew who she was. And immediately there was an indignation that arose up. She got up, she walked over, she got in between this lady and Micah, and she opened Micah's jacket. And she said, Micah, that's a wonderful T-shirt. She had no idea what they were talking about. She didn't even know this lady was talking about Micah's T-shirt. And then she walked away. The lady walked away. Later, we found out that this lady was upset because a day or two earlier, there was a mass shooting in a cinema and the gunman in the US was wearing a Batman shirt. And Micah had no idea. Nobody, unless you're watching the American news, you wouldn't have known that's what had happened. Joy didn't know either, but she knew who she was. See, when you start to know who you are, you just start to sense the Spirit of God leading you, and you begin, what you do just comes out of who you are. Is he unafraid? So are we in this world. You don't have to be afraid about what's going on at work. People might come up to you. Have you heard? They're starting to reduce shifts. It's going to be us next. Is he unafraid? So are we in this world. You have nothing to be scared about. Even if they do reduce you, you have nothing, because your source is not just your job. That's just one stream of income. So many people assess, the people that struggle with tithing are the people that see what they do as the only way they can get money. Get free of that. God is your source. He wants to bless you far more than just your job. Is he full of love? So are we in this world. That includes that detestable person at work that everybody else ignores. He is full of love. So are you in this world. Is he full of wisdom? So are we in this world. You know, I find myself as I'm traveling, and particularly, in the last few months, I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit's just been putting this on me. And often when I'm making different confessions over my life, and I make lots of, I would be encouraging you to speak the word of God over your life. I will say things like, I'm very rich. I'm good looking. I'm a major blessing. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm alert. I've got excellent memory recall. Every organ in my body functions the way it was meant to function. My body's blessed. I'm healthy. And one of the things that I found myself in the last couple of months saying over myself that I hadn't planned to say, but it's coming out oftentimes, is I know everything. I'm sharp, I'm quick, I know everything. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. You don't believe me? Look at 1 John. First John chapter 2. And verse 20, is it? But you, hang on, I've got the wrong translation. So I want to read it from the New King James Version. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Everyone say, you know all things. Now say, I know all things. I'm just saying what the word says. I know everything. You've heard me tell this. You know, I remember the first time I read that, I thought, man, I didn't know that. You know all things. I didn't know that. It's talking about your spirit. You need to understand, if the reason why people have trouble understanding and interpreting the Bible is because they don't understand, first and foremost, the Bible is a spiritual book. It's talking about your spirit. And unless it qualifies it otherwise, you need to see that. So when it says things like, you're of God, little children, and you, whoever's born of God, cannot sin. I remember I used to read that and I thought, man, I guess I'm not born of God. Because it says whoever's born of God cannot sin. See, what was I doing? I was a meathead. I was looking in the natural, but it's a spiritual book. It's talking about your spirit. When you're born again, the light's been turned on. Your spirit has been made a brand new creation. Your spirit cannot sin. Your spirit knows everything. That's what that scripture says, the one we just read. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know everything. You don't need to be trying to scrape the other end of the galaxy or try to find God somewhere up there. He lives within you, and because he's within you, you know everything. And the only challenge is get what's in there out, whatever you need out. And what's the best way to do that? Anybody know? Pray in tongues. You speak the wisdom of God in a mystery when you pray in the Spirit. Anyway, I just wanted to point out, this is, we're talking about who are you, and the thing that I'm pointing out to you is that you're full of wisdom. As he is, so are we in this world. Is he unstoppable? So are we in this world. Hallelujah. You are all of these things. They may not be manifesting in a great degree in your life, but it doesn't mean that's not who you are, because the Word of God is truth. And the more you allow that truth to become your reality and your priority, the more that will manifest in your life in all of these areas. You will notice, like in your body will start to reflect what you believe about yourself. Your body will just start to naturally get healthier and healthier. You will find there will be less incidences of sickness that are happening in your body. And it has nothing to do with what medication you've been prescribed or what the doctors have said. If you just choose to trust what God has to say, and he says, as he is, so are we in this world. Your finances will begin to reflect the same thing. Prosperity doesn't mean that you've necessarily got millions in your account. Prosperity means that you can do whatever it is that you're called to do, and then you got some as well. But I'll tell you, just from personal experience, your account will start to swell. Your accounts will start to grow, and they will start to progress the more you realize who you really are. It'll just happen. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Give me an oi when you're there. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. Let me just say this, because this is something that really, it irritates me. There are too many Christians that are falling into the empty philosophy of the world. Hey, the world does not have the answers. I know Christians who are studying psychology. That does not have the answers. Psychology is so messed up. The root of psychology and where it came from, it is really, really messed up. You will never see Jesus, when someone came to him who was troubled, he never said, look, there's a good psychologist back in Capernaum. Go look him up. He'll help you out. And yet so many Christians are referring people who are just troubled. I'm talking about emotionally troubled. They're referring them on. You, man, you need help. Go see some psychologist. Hey, he might be able to give you some pills or something. Oh, I would share a lot about that. It really irritates me. This scripture says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. Psychology is empty deceit. People that if you do any sort of psychology course, they will teach you first and foremost that there is no spirit. How can you fix something if you don't even believe it's there? People with spiritual problems. You know, there's something, you can Google this for yourself. It's called the Hans Eysenck study. It was one of the largest studies of its kind in the world. I think it was something like 30,000. It could have been more, over about a period of 20 years. They wanted to investigate how effective is psychological therapy. To go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. How effective is that? And so for something like 20 years and tens of thousands of people, that they researched and interviewed and got feedback from, and they wanted to find out what was, and the outcome, the result of the Hans Eysenck study shocked the world. And you'll never hear a psychologist or psychiatrist tell you about the Hans Eysenck study. Because the Hans Eysenck study basically revealed that a person that goes and gets psychotherapy or sees a psychologist or a psychiatrist for help is no more likely to improve in mental health than a person that doesn't. They found there was no difference. And this wasn't just interviewing a couple of people. This was tens of thousands of people over a period of years, decades. Don't let anybody cheat you of empty philosophy and deceit. According to the tradition of men, it says there, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. When you know who you are, you realize I'm complete in him. I'm not lacking anything. Do you think that's going to affect the way you think and talk and act? There was a period of time where months where I would be speaking that of myself. You are my sufficiency. I am complete in you. I'm lacking nothing. I am sufficient in you. What was I doing? I was just wanting that truth of who I really am to start bursting out and becoming a reality. You're a child of God. As he is, so are you in this world. You are complete in him. What would it look like if these things in your heart were realities in your life? What would it feel like if these things were true? What would it feel like to you if you knew you were a child of God? That he is your Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed. What would that feel like? You know, the impact of knowing who you are will impact every part of your life. It'll impact your physical health. It impacts your social life. You know, when you know who you are, you're not afraid of being rejected. You can say what's on your mind or what's on your heart. You can say the things that God's given you to say. And it doesn't matter what people think. And some people will laugh at you. Some people will criticize you. Some people will speak evil of you. But when you know who you are, it transcends all of that, and you're not taking a survey before you make a comment. You know, the most attractive people in this world are the people who have just allowed what's on the inside to shine out. You're a unique person. You can't be me, I can't be you. Neither of us can be Andrew Warmick or Kenneth Copeland. God didn't make us that. Just be who God made you to be. You have a unique personality. You know, your personality is like the glass windows in a house. But your identity is like the light in the house. And you can have stained glass, different styles of windows, different types of dressing, but when you turn the light on, it filters through that glass and shines in different ways. Your personality is you. It's just, it's like, it's, your personality really is an expression of your character, of who you are. And we're all different in that. But in terms of who are we, what's our identity? We're the same. We're sons. We're children of God. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, that'll shine out of you differently to how it'll shine out of me and anyone else. But let it shine. And the more you get comfortable in realizing, I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm loved of him. I don't need to be accepted by everybody else. All of my friends can turn on me. They can all speak evil of me. It will not bother me. That doesn't mean that you go looking for rejection. Don't worry, it'll come. But it's a freedom that is so wonderful that you can just be who God made you to be because you know who you are and you're letting your personality shine. They're the most attractive people. You know the people who are thought to be weird? It's the people who are not being sincere about who they are. They're trying to act a certain way. And whenever someone tries to act a certain way, but they're not convinced that's who they really are, it just comes out, something's wrong with that person. I don't know what it is. So people pick it up. It's like, it's fake. It's not real. It's not right. Something's not consistent. It's kind of like a guy that gets in a bathtub of water with his socks on. Something's wrong. You know, like, it's just weird. It's just not right. Who you are impacts you, it changes. You know, your social life will just, your ability to mix with people. I know because this is one area that really changed when I began to discover who I was in Christ. I lacked a lot of confidence as a young Christian. I guess, you know, everybody experiences rejection, but for me, I just took it very personally. And so I got really nervous talking to people because I was scared they would reject me. And so then instead of going and talking with people, I would keep myself aloof. I would not go and mix with people. I didn't understand what I was doing. You know, it was only when I started having some encounters with God that he began to talk to me about this. But what I was doing is I would deliberately not mix with others because I was so scared that if I did, they would think that I would be that I was an idiot, and I didn't want to handle that rejection. And so rather than face that, I kept to myself. Now, I never thought that through like that. What I would say to myself is, oh, I'd like to talk to those guys, but I'm busy. I've got some things I need to read up on, or I need to check, or I need to do. And I found ways to just busy myself and not interact with others. And it was after God began to really minister to me in a very profound way that he brought this area up. He said, I want to talk to you about this. And I said, Lord, I'd love to talk to them. I'm just busy, you know, like I've always just got things. And God just has a wonderful way of just showing you the truth, hey? And I could see I was fearful of being rejected. I didn't want to. And so that's what was stopping me. And then, and for months leading up to then, God had really began to reveal that he is my father. Remember that I told you, that revelation? I'd been focusing, you are my father. I am your son. I belong to you. Oh, that was, even now when I think about it, just it excites me. The consequences of just that one thing. For months I began to think, he's my father. That means I'm his son. That means I belong to him. That means I can't be rejected. I'm part of his family. If he's my father and I'm his son, that means I'm like him. I'm like my dad. My dad's a winner. That means I'm a winner. My dad doesn't fail. Well, that means I don't fail. Just that one revelation. And so for months this would happen. Then God began to speak to me about, you know, why are you staying away from these people? I said, well, I'm just busy. And he said, you know that's not true. And he showed me why. And I said, that's right, Lord, you're right. I'm scared of being rejected. And he said, but you're not scared anymore. And I said, that's right. I have nothing to be fearful about. And I found myself going and sitting down at a table with a whole bunch of blokes, and some of them could tell dirty jokes and do all sorts of, as unchurched people can. And I was totally comfortable being in that environment and being the authentic person that God had made me to be. Listen, I'm not trying to tell you I've arrived. I'm still growing and developing in this area, but There was a profound change, and it was at that round about that time that this guy, my friend, began to notice this change, and others began to notice as well. Who you are will impact your entire life if you allow it to. Hey, I wonder if you knew who you were, would it impact on the way you did your job? Do you remember Joseph in the book of Genesis? He was sold as a slave, and yet he excelled in his job. Why? If you go back and you read it, it says Joseph was a successful man. He was a slave, but that's not what it says. He was a successful man. He knew who he was. Do you know the Jews make up, so like one out of every, two out of every 500 people are Jews. One or two, I can't remember the exact stats, but there's not many, right? In the world population, one out of every 500 or two out of every five. No, it's one, it is one. One out of every 500 is a Jew. Yet 11% of the multi-billionaires in the world are Jews. In other words, more than one out of 10 of the billionaires, the multi-billionaires are Jews. Why am I sharing that with you? It's because it's ingrained into them who they are. They know they belong to God and they're blessed of God. They expect to be successful. Whereas so many believers think, oh, is it wrong for me to have money? Is it wrong for me to be successful? And they struggle with it. No. They see to be successful in their job, to be successful in their finances, in their businesses, to be successful in their families is a reflection of who they are, and they expect it. I'm trying to talk to you about how your identity can impact your life. You can read in your own time, Jesus in John chapter 13, he washed the disciples' feet. None of them wanted to wash each other's feet. Somebody had to wash them. Normally it was a servant. But Jesus only wanted his 12 there. This was the Last Supper. They didn't understand the gravity of what was about to happen. Jesus wanted just his immediate staff there at the Last Supper. And so they were all looking around thinking, who's going to wash our feet? Where's the servant? And I'm sure for some of them, they would have been thinking, oh, I'm not washing anybody's foot. Who do they think they are? They're not better than me. In fact, one of them can wash my feet. And they're thinking this. And in the midst of them going through some of that mental gymnastics, Jesus, the scripture says, he girds himself with a towel and he gets a small container and he begins to go from one to the other and washes their feet. But what's interesting, and you can read this in your own time, is if you read the language leading up to what he did, it says, Jesus, knowing that he had come from the Father, knowing that he was returning to the Father, knowing that all things belong to him, he girded himself. He knew who he was. Why could he do it, but the disciples couldn't? Because he knew who he was. See, the disciples thought, if I do that, they're going to think they're better than me. See, they didn't understand who they were. When you don't know who you are, it's going to stop you from doing the things God wants you to do. He could do that because he knew he was. He's thinking, I'm going to wash their feet. It doesn't change me. I'm still a son of God. It'll change every aspect. It'll change you with your finances. Oh, hallelujah. Adverse circumstances will just, they won't stand in your way because you know who you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you get something out of that? Let's stand up. This is so important because I know, you know, the vast majority of you invested 4 hours of your time over the last couple of Sundays to learn how to train and how to present the gospel, which is a wonderful thing. But I want you to understand the foundation of that is knowing who you are. As you practice doing the two circles, as you practice learning the questions and being fluent in those things, it's so important that you remind yourself and reflect on who you really are. Let that become more than just head knowledge. Let it become something that just begins to transform you from the inside out. And your life will transform. And you won't need to say anything to anybody else. People will notice. People will notice there's a difference in your life. Hallelujah.